Thanks everyone for coming back on time. We're going to go straight into Rita's presentation. Rita, sorry, I was distracted by our new attendee.
No problem, thank you.
Straight into Andy's presentation.
Okay, I'm also going to be helped out by Kachiro, who is from the primary financial statements team. So I'm hoping to go through this relatively quickly. The aim for this session is just to give you a bit of an introduction and a few talking points so that we can then go into a breakout discussion where we look at specific concerns to do with principle-based reporting and how that interacts with technology and some of the things we've heard. So one of the first things to clarify is what exactly we mean by principle-based. Now, we don't explicitly talk about what that means in the standards, but we do have quite a few requirements, mostly in IAS-1, although there are a few in other places, which tend to move preparers towards principle-based standards and give them the freedom that they need to introduce that flexibility into their reporting. So, for example, we have in IAS-1, paragraph 30, we've got something about if a line item is not individually material, then it is aggregated with other items either in those statements or the notes. We have another paragraph talking about presenting specific line items on the statement of profit or loss, but of course that list itself is very limited. And another influence is in paragraph 85, which talks about asking an entity to shall present additional line items, including by disaggregating line items listed in 82, headings and subtotals in the statements presenting profit or loss and other comprehensive income when such presentation is relevant. So that is very actively encouraging preparers to be flexible with their reporting and to add this additional information into their financial statements. We hear quite a lot about the way that these principle-based standards interact with electronic reporting. So we hear when we talk to stakeholders in various meetings. We also hear quite a bit in the comment letters that we've received for various projects. We do also hear some views that talk about a more useful side of things, but the focus for our discussion today is to try and look at where these concerns come from. So there's a bit of a theme we see in responses to IFRS taxonomy-related consultations, particularly the consultations related to the policy of the taxonomy. So, for example, the IFRS taxonomy due process, and also the consultation where on the questions that were asked as part of the trustee's review of its structure and effectiveness. And in both of those consultations, we saw comments along these lines. So we saw things where people were talking about their concern that the prescriptive nature of the IFRS taxonomy does not align well with principle-based IFRS. We see a lot of language sort of along those lines, things like taxonomy constraints, the fact they might provide, cause limitations, more rules, less principle-based. We fear that bringing XBRL into standard setting will be detrimental to the principle-based approach. I only selected sort of a few comments to give you an idea of the language used and where we hear this concern from. We also hear in discussions with other groups. So, for example, there was a discussion with our Capital Markets Advisory Committee, and they were talking about structured electronic reporting. This was back in February. And they expressed views that were sort of around this area, but they also are to do with the way that they see electronic reporting as useful, but also how they see it interacting with certain aspects of financial reporting that are related to the principles-based approach. So, for example, electronic reporting facilitates user-driven data standardization. So they see electronic reporting very much as facilitating standardization at the user end of things. We also heard that a result of electronic reporting is that entity-specific details, so that's the items that are included as a result of more flexible reporting, may actually become more accessible. So that was a view that electronic reporting was actually more of an assisting aspect, as a thing, rather than a threat from that perspective. We also heard views that electronic reporting, however, can sort of remove some of the full context. Because there was a bit of a concern from some users that the way they see electronic reporting figures used is that they are pulled out and they are rearranged and they are placed into different contexts. And there was a bit of a concern from some that that meant that they weren't seen within the original context of the report and that this might influence the way that those figures are viewed and whether or not they've got the context with the rest of the story from a principle-based perspective. Now, obviously, we're happy, we're looking for a nice sort of free-form discussion here. We've given you some questions that I'll come to in a bit that we'd like you to consider in the groups. But we've been looking at this area and considering it on a kind of scale, a bit like the scale that Rachel presented for considering the difference between the consistency and the comparability in the primary financial statements project. And we've kind of got this idea that on one side of things, we have the principle-based standards and standard setting and how that works at the moment. On the other end of things, we have technology and how that is using financial statement information. And we've also got this idea that some people want consistency, but others would like to keep the flexibility and the judgment in financial statements. And we sort of see that there are quite a few factors interacting in this space. We're not really sure whether, for example, a lot of the concerns that people talk about when they talk about electronic reporting and technology being a bad influence on standard setting are because these things are necessarily opposed, or if it's more because there's a kind of sliding scale of the way that we can address these concerns, with some things being issues related to the standard setting itself rather than the way that electronic reporting works. But maybe some of the others are actually to do with the way that technology could either inhibit the way people use financial statements at the moment, or maybe technology could actually help to solve some of the issues that people are seeing when they talk about this conflict. Maybe it's just that technology is not being used appropriately and there are actually things that could be done on that end of things to help address the concern. So obviously you've heard some of the things I put on this slide from the primary financial statement side of things within standard setting. There's the idea of looking at the principle-based definitions of things like recurring and non-recurring items to improve the level of consistency at that end of things. There's disclosure of comparable subtotals. We've heard about operating profit already. And there's things like financial statement illustrative examples. On the other end of things, when we start looking at how technology potentially influences this area, the things that maybe technology could do to try and address the concern, they might include better technology handling of entity-specific disclosures, for example, which is a topic we'll talk about later today. Potentially there's changing the taxonomy design, there's improving that taxonomy design so that it has a better representation for the flexible nature of reporting. And there's also this idea that actually maybe the taxonomy design should reflect more the core requirements that are within IFRS and maybe leave the flexibility to other technology and maybe leave the issue of how that flexibility interacts to standard setting. So there's a whole range of ways that potentially we could look at this concern and address it. We also, in particular for this discussion, because quite a number of those relate to standard setting, we've teamed up with the primary financial statements team, who have some very specific areas that they've been considering from the standard setting side that they think it would be really helpful for you to discuss within the context of this whole topic. So I'll hand over to Koichiro so he can go through these with you.
Thank you very much, Andy. Good morning, everyone. My name is Koichiro Kuramochi. I'm working on the primary financial statement project. And today, we'd like to bring some of the specific approaches we have been thinking about in the primary financial statement project. As Rachel mentioned in the morning session, the primary financial statement project is trying to achieve improvements in the primary financial statements. And this is still a very early stage project, and we are thinking about various possible approaches. And so that is why today we will explain some of the approaches, but these are not definitive approaches, and we are just like thinking about feasibility of these approaches. And let me talk about three specific approaches we are thinking about at this point. Please take a look at slide 11. The title says, require subtotals such as operating profit and or EBIT. Please take a look at left side example financial statement. At current IFRS, we do not have specific subtotals. Instead, we basically ask management to make judgment. If it is relevant, you should insert some subtotal. Having said that, many companies present some subtotals, for example, operating profit, or profit before tax. However, because of lack of definition, the calculation can be different. So that is why one of the approach we can think about is developing some guidance and maybe introduce some subtotals such as operating profit and ask preparers to present a comparable subtotal. The benefit of this approach is, of course, improved comparability. So users will be able to compare by using such as like operating profit subtotal. On the other hand, this is not necessarily easy because, for example, defining what is operating is very difficult to define. Depends on industry, the operating can be very different. And also, even in the same industry, depends on some company's activity, what is operating can be very different. So that is why defining what is operating is very difficult. And one of the possibilities we might seek might be defining relatively easy categories such as financing category, and also we can kind of describe what is non-operating activity, and then we can arrive at operating profit. So similar to the concept of EBIT, earnings before interest and tax, starting from bottom line and excluding different items, so excluding financing items and excluding non-operating items and arriving at operating profit. That could be done. At the same time, it should be like some principle-based thinking has to be incorporated. For example, what is financing can be different among companies, and the question is how we can provide guidance about what is financing activity. So it could be a challenge. And definitely, we think there is an opportunity to improve financial statement, and also there are challenges in standard setting world. And then the question is, what is the implication for the structured electronic reporting or digital reporting? We think that there would be some good implication for structured electronic reporting. At the same time, there could be some challenges, like partly because maybe principle-based nature of some definition. And we would appreciate if in the breakout session you discuss this kind of point. And also, chances are you might come up with some of the great idea to solve the problems we face in the standard setting world by using technology. If that's the case, I think it has a very good insight for the project. Let's move on to the next slide, on slide 12. Another approach we might think is allowing companies to present recurring operating profit subtotal. So in addition to operating profit subtotal, these days many companies also present some kind of adjusted operating profit. In some cases, it is called recurring operating profit. Sometimes it is called core operating profit. And the main purpose of providing this kind of subtotal by preparers are basically trying to convey the information about persistency of earnings, because user has to predict future performance. In order to do that, it is helpful to exclude like certain one-time items or certain unusual items. So that is why companies present this kind of subtotal. And in some cases, company present these subtotals on the face of the income statement. And in some cases, companies present these information outside of financial statement, such as press release or presentation for investors. And the question is, if we introduce this kind of information, we can improve the relevance of IFRS financial statements. And we think there is a great opportunity to incorporate this kind of information in IFRS financial statement, and that should be benefit. And if we incorporate this kind of information in financial statements, it will be audited by auditors. So maybe more discipline and more transparency, more consistency. And it sounds great. At the same time, it's not easy at all, because what is recurring, what is non-recurring can be very difficult to define. Restructuring activity can occur every year. At the same time, it can have different nature. Sometimes, extremely significant restructuring activity. Sometimes it's like usual restructuring activity. The question is how to segregate these restructuring activities. Or impairment of goodwill can be occur every year or can be happen once in 20 years. So how we can classify these recurring or non-recurring items can be very difficult. And one approach might be providing principle-based definition and also allowing some management judgment. And the question is, what is the implication for the structured electronic reporting or digital reporting on this aspect? Of course, providing this kind of information might be useful for digital reporting as well. However, we see that there could be some difficulty because there's a principle-based definition of recurring and also some management judgment. So I'd like to hear how you see the benefits and the challenges for these approaches. And if you think that if there is a great possibility by using technology to solve problems, we are very happy to hear that as well. And move on to the other approach we brought on slide 13. This is an approach to develop financial statement template. If you take a look at appendix, there is some comparison among peer companies in the same industry, and what we found is that depends on the company, aggregation and the disaggregations of the items can be very different. Some company present detail of the SG&A, and some company present just one operating expenses, aggregating everything to one line item. So one of the approach to improve the comparability and transparency might be providing financial statement template and encourage preparers to use it. It can be a good approach to improve the financial reporting. At the same time, the challenge might be it can be maybe example rather than a required template because we understand the difference in business model and also in some cases the item might be immaterial and the company has to aggregate very small items to one single line item. So maybe we have to provide some kind of principle-based criteria to aggregate items. Then, what is the implication for digital reporting or structured electronic reporting for this approach? There could be great benefit of having the template of financial statement to standardize reporting. At the same time, this kind of example nature might be problematic. We really appreciate if you can discuss this kind of benefit and challenges. So these are the three approaches we brought today.
So we'll have a quick look at the questions for the breakout discussions, and then we'll split everybody up. You should have within the pieces of paper on your desk a list of breakout groups and who's going to which room. So in general, the aims are to discuss this piece, this whole perceived conflict and how it may be addressed. So for example, identifying what may be causing concerns about electronic reporting and identify what may be causing the concerns about the IFRS taxonomy, possibly as a result or possibly separately. We also want you to consider how the principle-based nature of the standards results to with this perceived conflict. And ideally, what we'd like is ways and to address the concerns. Is there anything that we can do as an organization? Do people see that addressing these concerns is something that's a matter for standard setting? Do they see it as something that's a matter for the way we design the IFRS taxonomy and for the technology to be used and it sits with electronic reporting? Or do people see things sort of on both sides or sitting in between? Another question is whether or not there are any specific implications that the board needs to consider directly for the primary financial statements project, which is the more specific set of things that Kojiro was just talking about. So we have some general questions on the general topic that we'd like you to consider. So the first one of those is, why is there a concern about a conflict between principle-based standards and electronic reporting? As you can see, the quotes I gave you from some of the comment letters give us a few indications, but we don't often get very detailed explanation for why people have this concern. What do you see as the reasons for these concerns, and do you agree with them, is another question. And secondly, is there anything, what can we do to address the concerns? Are there changes we could make to the IFRS taxonomy that you can identify? What could the board do when setting IFRS standards to facilitate electronic reporting? So those are the general questions on the sort of overall topic. And then within the context of that, we want you to move on to and look at the primary financial statements and the examples that Koichiro just explained to you. So he's got this specific question.
Yeah. So basically, the benefit and the challenges for digital reporting or electric reporting.
Now, you've got the pieces of paper detailing where your breakout groups are. We'll be reporting back. Something to bear in mind during your discussions is there'll be about 5 to 10 minutes for a representative from your group, probably the chairs, to report back, and then there'll be a roundtable of ITCG discussions to discuss what everybody has come up with during those breakout sessions. But for the time being, John, how long do you reckon we're going to stay out for? The full hour?
Yeah, I think it's best to take the full hour.
So we're going to be back here in an hour's time, so if we say it's only a few minutes after, so say 10 to 12. Because it's now just past 10 to 11. So if everybody can make their way to their rooms, anybody who's coming to a room downstairs, I think I'm in Cannon Room, so I can take people down to that room.